Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Coleman Coaching. Jeannie Coleman is a stress and mind-body coach based out of Los Angeles. She spent 16-plus years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and many other TMS symptoms that left her physically and mentally exhausted. After healing herself completely, Jeannie is now obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. With support, consistency, and accountability, clients learn to stop making pain the problem. You may remember hearing Dr. Schubiner on this podcast say that we need to address our emotional issues and or life situations that need changing. But for many of us, this emotional work in making life changes is just too scary. So we don't take any action at all, or we dive deeper into learning more information in attempts to avoid leaving our comfort zone. Does this sound familiar? This is why the right one-on-one coaching support could be a game changer for you. Besides decreasing their stress and chronic symptoms, Jeannie's clients are changing careers, increasing their income, and having more intimate connections in their relationships. Most importantly, they're having fun again. What's possible for you if pain wasn't holding you back anymore? Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where together, you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps towards healing. Go to her website, jeanniecoleman.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com and book your free call today. It is Thursday, April the 27th. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. I want to make sure that I give a very special shout out to the patrons of the show. If you go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast, it helps keep this show on the air for free. Think about throwing a few bucks in the tip jar. There's actually a new patron. She joined on 3 days ago. Teresa, thank you for joining us. Lauren and Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Kirk, Emily, Elise, Enda, Dominic, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for supporting the podcast every single week and month. I can assure you it would not be around without your support. So I do thank you. Another great interview coming up today. If you're in the Seattle area, or actually, you know what? If you're an NHL fan, this is our first. So the Seattle Kraken have been around for 2 seasons now, and we're now in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So I have no exposure to playoff hockey outside of watching the games that have come. We're on game 5 is tonight against the Colorado, as I record this tonight, against the Colorado Avalanche. And the game they played a couple of nights ago was so exciting. As you know, I'm definitely a baseball guy. I've season tickets to the Mariners. But wow, playoff hockey is something else. So things are going okay in my neck of the woods. It's kind of an exciting time if you're a sports fan in this arena. So I do have an interview today. Comes from across the pond, actually. Narendra Sheena joined me to talk about kind of her story, how she got into doing what she's doing now. And I really like her take on a lot of this kind of stuff. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit more nuanced. And I think that it's nice to get that new, fresh perspective. So she comes in, gives a little bit of her story, and then more importantly, and most importantly, gives some perspective on the different way that she thinks about things now, which is I think, awesome. And a programming note, over the next few weeks, the plan is to get some more medical docs, some more MDs back on the show. I sent feelers out to 3 last night. I got 2 responses, which is great. I'm doing a pre-call with 1 tomorrow, actually, as you listen to this. It's probably already happened. And then 1 that's coming up at the end of the week, or actually, I think it's early next week. So yeah, I'm looking forward. It's been a long time since I've had an MD on the show. I was trying to think back. Might have been Dr. Hanscom, and that would have been like 2 or 3 years ago. So it's been a while. A fresh interview. So without further ado, though, here is Narendra Sheena and I. Coming to you from across the pond today from Bromsgrove, England. I think I got that. Bromsgrove, England. Is Narendra Sheena. Narendra, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Eddie.
Did I pronounce the name correct of the place that you live?
Yes, Bromsgrove.
Okay. Bromsgrove. It's such a beautiful name, and I don't know why. Every time I'm literally looking at it right now as I typed it, and it looks like two O's making Bromsgrove, but I know that's not the case because I wrote one, and I continue to see one. But at first glance, for some stupid reason, it keeps looking like it's two. So, you know, whatever. Hey, well, thanks for joining me. I got a really nice message from you almost a month ago saying that you were somebody that recovered from disc prolapse. I would love to hear more about this story. So I mentioned before I hit record kind of how I love these interviews to go, but we need to get some background. So let's just start just for a couple of minutes. Give us a little bit of background on, you know, what is a disc prolapse? Did you have some kind of a traumatic event happen? Like what led to that being a diagnosis for you to then go and pursue?
Well, thanks, Eddie, for that. It was a case of me. I think the disc prolapse was a cause of other triggers, which I didn't connect the dots to initially. So back in 2015, I remember distinctly, it was such a poignant year for me. I was getting married. I was doing a half a marathon, and I was doing a lot of different things that year. But the one thing that struck me at the time, at that point, was my father was dying. He got diagnosed with cancer that was not curable. So what happened at that point was I got married. I quit my job because at the time I wanted to focus on my father. And I entered into a performance coaching role a few months later. And I had my daughter, who was only a baby, and I remember after my father had passed away that I started getting migraines and tension headaches on weekends, and this was every 3 or 4 weeks. And what would happen is I used to think, oh, I'm working a hectic work week Monday to Friday. It's because I'm having a lie-in, I'm relaxing, that's why I'm getting these tension headaches and migraine. Never did I think the trauma that I was had gone through was due to the grief of my father. And so what happened was I must have somehow suppressed those emotions in my body. And so as we were progressing, I had my son. And when I had my son, that was in 2019. So I mean, that was a few years later. So 2019 comes and I had my son in the car. I mean, it was crazy. The hospital advised me to stay at home. This was my second child. So I had my son in the car and he was perfect. It was absolutely fine. We were at the hospital car park. And so 7 months came along and then lockdown hit. And just before lockdown, I remember I was always a bit anxious when I was pregnant with my son. But when lockdown happened, it must have heightened. And all I remember was that I used to have this niggle in my right ankle. I got out of bed one morning and I had a niggle in my right ankle. And I couldn't shake it off. You know, you don't think much of it.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, gosh, let me walk it off. So I did that for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I thought, maybe I need to go to the doctor. Like we do, we need to get some answers. So I go to the doctor and he made me bend my you know, bend down, touch my toes, all of the good stuff. No imaging, no nothing, and started saying, oh, I think you've got a herniated disc. I didn't think much of it at the time. He never asked me anything further. And he goes, I'll refer you for physiotherapy. And so it was at that point I thought, okay, there's nothing to it. He was saying to me to try and walk it off. So I tried that and nothing was working. And when I first realized about disc prolapse or what issue I had is when I had a physiotherapy session over Zoom, and it must have been either probably the second session, I remember the physio had given me these exercises and it was the tennis ball against the wall. And oh my gosh, 2 days after that, my pain had exacerbated to a level I'd never experienced in my life. Now, I've given birth to 2 children and that pain was nothing like this pain.
Yeah.
And I was panicking. So I was panicking. I was thinking, what's happening? I couldn't touch my toes. First Zoom session with the physio, I could. And I thought, what has happened here? Anyway, she had mentioned the word surgery. And that's when I thought, what? Surgery? What are you on about? She said it in such a manner like it was a normal conversation. She goes, well, you can't have surgery because we're in lockdown. There's no surgeons available. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, your disc is pressing on the nerve, the sciatic nerve. I thought, okay. And I didn't go into it any further than that. And then she just said to me, well, just carry on doing these exercises. And that's when I thought, okay, I'm carrying them on, but it's not helping me. So I carried on. I did another couple of more sessions. And then I called up and I said, I can't do it anymore. And the reason I cancelled, it was the support of this lady called Georgie Oldfield in England.
Yeah, I know about Georgie.
SERPA online recovery program. So I was panicking at this stage and I thought, what is going on? And I, at the same time as contacting Georgie, I started Googling because we were in lockdown. I didn't know what to do. I was in panic mode. I've never been in pain like this before. So I came across Dr. Sarno, Healing Back Pain. And I thought, what? I need to get that book. Bought it and I, consumed every page. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's happened here? So anyway, I contacted Georgie. She said some words to this effect, which was so beautiful. She goes, I know you will recover. I thought, wow, I've never heard those words. Now, at this point, I'd gone to see a holistic chiropractor who told me that I've got tension in my neck. And so he said to me, I'm surprised a physiotherapy would advise surgery when I don't deal with a surgical recommendation. Then I went to a conventional chiropractor for laser treatment. I even tried a third chiropractor who dealt with well-being, but they would not touch me because I had severe nerve pain. But they referred me to a neurosurgeon. So before I saw the neurosurgeon, I went to have an MRI. I was limping. I couldn't walk much at all. And even when I had the scan, it was supposed to be for 20 minutes. I could only lay down for 10 minutes. And when I had a Zoom session with the consultant and the neurosurgeon, he said to me, you've got a severe right disc prolapse. And that's when I thought, wow. And what was reassuring was I had spoken to Georgie Oldfield at that point, who had, you know, gave me some comfort and calmed me down to say, this is what you may expect. So it was really at that point when I thought, that's when I knew I had the actual disc prolapse.
What so the prolapse, like, had you had like a, I guess, like a history of pain that seemed like it was similar to that, or was this, I mean, because it all kind of sounds like it's out of left field, especially originating in the ankle, that's kind of the first place that you felt pain.
Yeah, so this is the strangest thing. So I've never ever had any problems. I was always active before I had children. I did a half a marathon in 2015 as well. And I've always been active from a young age. So all I could think of is what has happened. I knew when I was pregnant with my son that when I was working, I was quite unfulfilled with the job I was doing. And obviously I had grief within me and I was really anxious for some reason. With my second child, I was very anxious and very on edge, but I had nothing to have said that I had a history or anything like that in my life. And it was, and the good thing was, like, once I started learning about what was going on in my mind, I started doing my own research. I contacted Howard Schubiner, actually. I emailed him and I told him I'm getting all these pain symptoms. I was getting all the numbing pain in my toe. I had numbness in my arm. I couldn't even walk longer than 2 minutes walking or standing. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't sleep. So all these symptoms were happening day by day. I was panicking. I was on the floor and I was crying. I was literally begging my husband to take me to A&E and say, please do something. And he was, you know, his answer was, well, you'll be waiting there for a few hours. And, you know, after a while, the pain, I mean, the pain was still there. It was just 24/7. I mean, Howard Schubner was really good. He said, is the pain moving around? And I told him it was. And he was saying, soothe your nervous system. Simple as that, soothe your nervous system. But for me, I was desperate. I was trying everything, healing creams, massages. I was trying a physio roller. So all of these things, I was thinking, what else can I use? What else can I use? And then I contacted Steve Olzenich. I read his book and I emailed him and I said, look, I've got all this pain. What am I supposed to do? Because I thought he had the answers for me. And he said, just be. And I thought, ah, okay. And he said, it's perfect timing. It's lockdown. You've got to relax. Yeah. Really. You've got to really do the inner work. And that's what I needed to do, not look at all these external factors, but look at where was I in my life? What had happened to have created all of this? So I set upon a path of learning from the online recovery to my own learning. So I started researching and reading a lot of books, even Fred Amir's book, which was very helpful. And then what I started to do as a coach anyway, I started to put actions into place. So I started putting my, like, a plan together. Every day I was going to write what goals I was going to set, how I was going to feel, and how I was going to reward myself. So, for example, stand for 4 minutes in the living room, for example, or walk, you know, for 3 minutes. Because after a couple of minutes, the pain was excruciating. I had to sit down. And then I would write how I would feel that day and how what would I reward myself with? You know, was it a sweet treat or something like that? And at the same time, what I decided to do was, because I'm a coach, I thought, I'm going to go for some coaching. And that's when I contacted Jeannie Colwin, who was a great help. I contacted her. I knew she'd gone through something.
Yeah.
And I thought, she can just give me that motivation, that confidence. And it really, really made a difference in terms of, it just gave me that support of, I hadn't looked after myself. And that was a big thing that I neglected, was me, my mind and my body. So I started doing this daily. And when it came to having a consultation, this is the bizarrest thing. And I've heard this before, but I didn't think it would happen to me. So at the point of consultation, I was obviously in pain and I couldn't walk longer than I was saying to you. But for 2 days later, I could walk for approximately 19 minutes. 2 days after I had the diagnosis, and it was like in my brain, it turned on like saying, right, you got to walk more. I thought, this is bizarre. And then that gave me the motivation every day to do more and more. But it wasn't like that before. It felt like Groundhog Day of, what's happened to me? When am I going to recover? Because we look to other people and think, oh, they've recovered in 3 months or 2 months. Oh, gosh, how come I haven't recovered in that time? And the key thing is to really help yourself. I mean, I used a lot of tools. I used the Curable app. I used Headspace for meditations. I used everything. Yeah. And you know what? It all helped me. And I suppose lockdown was, to as a benefit, it was great because I didn't have the noise around me for people to see how bad I was. So for me, that was a relief. The only family members that saw me like that was my husband, my mom, and my mother-in-law, and obviously just a few other family members, but nobody else. Because I didn't want them to know. I was embarrassed. I was very ashamed that here's a woman, you know, that is strong and capable, who looked and felt incapable. So all these weaknesses came out. But I also realized lockdown as a detriment was, I shut myself off from everybody who was close to me that could have supported me. So in that way, I think, you know, you had to look at yourself, and I'm glad I did do all the research. I went to so many places. I read literature for a whole year. I read literature and I contacted all the relevant people, and I didn't panic and think surgery was my only way. And today, you know, and how has it changed my life? It massively, massively transformed me.
All right, I want to take a break from this conversation and tell you about a brand new sponsor for the show, Lisa Schlossberg, who you've heard come on before. She was last on a little over a year ago. She's going to be coming up here soon on the podcast again. But Lisa Schlossberg is a trauma-informed holistic health coach, social worker, personal trainer, and yoga teacher who supports emotional eaters and chronic dieters around the world to achieve mind, body, soul health, and wholeness. Holistic healing techniques helped Lisa understand how her lifelong morbid obesity and irritable bowel syndrome were both physical symptoms of psychological stress, unexpressed emotion, and processed trauma. Having lost and maintained 150 pounds for more than a decade, by healing her relationship with food through emotional healing, somatic experiencing, mindset shifts, and more, Lisa's mission is now to help people around the world overcome similar struggles by supporting them through the process of healing, so they can live a fulfilling life and a healthy body. Her 14-week group coaching program is a transformational experience designed to empower you with the skills, tools, education, and support you need to use your struggle with food and body as a path to mind-body-soul alignment so you can embody a life of freedom. Designed for anyone struggling with disordered eating habits, which such as overeating, undereating, mindless eating, stress eating, emotional eating, yo-yo dieting, compulsive dieting, the list goes on and on. This holistic trauma-informed curriculum is designed to support participants in understanding how they got here. Where exactly did the mind and body become disconnected in the first place, and why has intuitive eating become so elusive? How to get out, meaning reconnect themselves, to embody authenticity and feel safe honoring their body's needs, and how to maintain it, meaning design a lifestyle supportive to a regulated nervous system and sustainable mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and physical well-being moving forward. This strengths-based program is rooted in the belief that using food to cope is a valid method of managing stress, coping with emotion, and regulating energy, and that it is possible to sustainably heal from the inside out. Go to the show notes to check out her website, outofthecave.health. She's been on the podcast before, as I said, about a year ago. I think it's episode 215. Go back and give that a listen. Let's go back to the show. What were some things, maybe like some truths that you had to understand or absorb in order for you to sort of buy into this line of thought? Because it's very tough, and especially if you have an athletic background, I feel it's very challenging to think that this is not a mechanical problem. What if you can point at anything specific, you know, maybe one or two things that truths that you just had to, you know, you had to recognize and realize that this is a mind-induced thing, and I know it to be so. Like, I know that's the case.
Well, I remember when I started doing journaling, there were a few connections I made where I thought, where there were points in my life that were the triggers. Now, at the time, I couldn't see it, but when I was writing it, I could tell when I was moving house and I was pregnant, these were all stressful events in my life. And I started becoming really body aware. So there were times when I used to think of, when am I highly anxious, when my chest tightened up, oh, now I can feel pain, it's heightening. And I thought, this makes sense. This makes sense of why my pain is prolonging and why I'm in this fight or flight mode in my nervous system. But I think also, the brains are very skeptic, aren't they, about other alternative to what we know. And I had to be all in. I had to know that I had to believe that I was going to recover 100% through the mind. Because if I was even having any self-doubt with medical treatment, I wasn't recovering fully. And that was happening a part of it. And I thought, it's my mind has to be fully prepared. So there were lots of light bulb moments where I thought, it's to do with my mind. Because how can, like I just explained to you with the consultation, I was told that the brain sometimes likes a diagnosis. Why is it that 2 days after my consultation, I got to walk a lot more than I did for the past few months? So these were the things where I went, my mind, and also talking to my mind and saying, actually, you know, I know that you're giving me this pain as a protection mechanism, but I don't need it. There's no threat, and I'm going to carry on with my life the best way I can.
Were there any particular hurdles during this process for you?
Massive hurdles.
Talk about a couple of hurdles. Was it non-belief, or was it kind of starting and stopping, or was it not seeing results as fast as you thought? What are maybe one or two?
Yeah, not seeing the results, because here I was thinking, I've not injured myself. What has happened to me? That was my first thought. What has happened? What is wrong with me? And that feeling of debilitation, oh my gosh. I mean, when I wrote everything down in a book, and when I look back at that book and the pain, it was like, what? How vulnerable I was. And, you know, sometimes when I did speak to some of the people, they were like, have you gone to the chiropractor? Have you sought more medical help? It was like this noise that was there. Initially, they were scared for me. I could see their reaction when my mom came to see me. I could see the shock in her face. And I was thinking, I'm the one suffering. I'm the one going through this. And it was a very emotional time for me because, as I say, we weren't in normal conditions. It was all locked down. So a lot of the places were all closed. Everything was via online. So I was even more in a heightened state. And I think what hurt me most was that I couldn't pick up my children. I couldn't play with them because I was so focused on the pain. And I realized I had to really be determined to do this because I wanted to play with my kids. I want to be active and obviously ultimately live a purposeful life. And I think that's what got me through even more. I looked at my why. Why am I doing it? And there were days when it was Groundhog Day. I'd write in my journal, today I've done nothing and I felt down. And it could have been like that for another day, no progress. But when I found little snippets where there was no pain, I was thinking, how come there's no pain? What's the correlation? So I started doing more and more, and every day it just got better and better. And I had that belief that my recovery is not going to be the same as somebody else's recovery. And I had to embed that in my brain of, you're going to recover, Narinda, but focus on your journey, your healing journey, not anybody else's.
So so you're working with people now, right? You're doing some coaching?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened was, after I recovered, I used to be a lawyer, and I went back into the legal world, and I realized my values didn't align there. I realized I had so much I had experienced that I needed to go back into coaching. And with all the experience and research I did, I wanted to help other people that had been in my position, who are suffering, who have probably suffered for more years than me, and don't know how to get out of it. So I set up my own business in February. And I also, because I love neuroscience, I wanted to add on to my skills with the neuroscience evidence-based focus on that, and joined a further coaching company called Optimus Coach Academy, just to enhance those skills and to ensure that what I'm going to be able to offer other people is not just my journey, but also help them to get their mind into an understanding that we need to educate people. Because this, still to this day, when I speak to people, and I never speak to them in a way that I say, I know, that I know the answers, but there's a lot of resistance, that people look at you confused. And I think there is so much that we can give knowledge out there and help others that are probably, you know, shut away from the world because they feel ashamed, that they feel they can't share this, or they don't know a way out to get them on that path of recovery.
Yeah, certainly. Are there, what are some of the you know, someone comes to you and kind of they understand the concepts and, you know, what you're saying is resonating with them. What's sort of your methodology in terms of helping somebody become well? Like what do you, cause you talked about interacting with Dr. Schubiner and interacting with Ozanich and reading Sarno's book and working with Jeannie and, shout out to Jeannie, by the way. What's kind of your method or your method? Cause some people find, you know, there's a million tools in the tool chest, but you know, the things that I find most valuable, you might not find as valuable and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there, isn't there, of what works and what doesn't work for, and one size does not fit all. So what I've done in the past is, I mean, I had one friend who contacted me because her sister had recently had hip surgery and she needed help. And what I did first of all was coach her. First, I gave her some, like, asked her whether she heard of any of these resources, and she hadn't. So what I started doing was signposting initially, of saying, you know, have a read of this book. Firstly, understand what tension mind-body syndrome is, because there's no point just going in coaching somebody who has no knowledge, who has no understanding. And I don't think that's fair either. I think they need to first read something and whether it resonates with them. Because if they haven't got the belief, then they're not going to be dedicated or work hard to know that they've got to do the hard work to overcome this. What I did then after that was, if they're in the locality, then I can physically go and see them at the house, which yeah. I did do with this friend's sister. What I did was she had crutches. And she had them to the side of us on the sofa. And I brought all my notes. I brought all my notes just to show her, to give her some guidance. And she goes, Narinda, you know, I fell over. I fell over in the house. And you know, I'm really nervous. And I said, don't worry. So what I did was I asked her permission. I said, can I ask you to stand up with me? And I'll gently guide you around. And she had this table. Just a small table in the living room. And I said, can I guide you to walk around this table? And she goes, yes. So I was supporting her and she slowly took her steps. And then after she'd done one, she did it for one round. And then she goes, Narinda, I'm exhausted because of the energy it took. She goes, can I sit down? I said, of course. She sat down and she felt amazing. She goes, Narinda, I said, how did you feel? She goes, yeah, that's amazing. Then what she did again was, she said, Narinda, can you just watch me while I just walk around slowly? I said, of course. So she did that. She didn't fall. And what I left her with was, see how you get on. You know, this was just the starting point. And then what we did was we scheduled weekly Zoom online calls. And what happened after that is I started just obviously coaching her. She started doing more research. She contacted actually SERPA. She contacted other resources that I had just signposted her to. And it was so interesting. A few weeks later, she called me. She goes, Narinda, I'm so glad you gave me your time, your coaching, and the signposting. She goes, I can drive. She goes, I don't use the crutches. And, you know, she was told actually as well that she had nerve damage. So when they did the hip surgery, they had some nerve damage and that she couldn't lift her leg. So what I asked her to do was some visualization every day, a visualization and a positive affirmation. And every day when I was checking in with her, she would say, Narinda, it's not working. It's not working. And I left it. I said, you contact me when you feel you want to contact me, I'm right beside you. Gave it a couple of weeks. She started telling me, I can lift my leg. I'm walking. I'm driving. I can't believe this is a miracle. And that's what energized me. That's when I knew this, oh my gosh, this is working. And all I did was give her tools and resources that I was using and gave her what would work for her, because not everything's going to work for her, but what tools she felt comfortable that's going to work for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there certain, what's the best way to ask this? Are there certain like things that you would, you know, say that somebody has kind of gotten to a point where, because there are lots of people listening to this that, you know, they've gotten to a point of they're back and living their lives and doing whatever it is that they want to do. But maybe like a daily practice is something that they would, that they'd like to have, you know, like a maintenance idea. You know, some people some people will journal for 15 minutes a day, regardless kind of how they feel. And as opposed to it being this solely like a reactive thing, is it mindfulness or like what tips maybe can you give on that?
So I've tried a variety of tips. So and I read a bit about Nicole Sachs as well. So what I did journal for a couple of months in the day, never at night. I'd journal for 15, 20 minutes. And that was great. But I found that for me, it wasn't always about journaling because I was doing my daily chronic pain tracker. So that's where my feelings were coming into it. But what really resonated was positive affirmations, where I said things like, even, you know, I was crippled on the floor and I'd write, I am fit and healthy and I feel amazing. Or I am walking normally and I am strong and I feel wonderful. So I'd write out a few positive affirmations and I'd do them last thing at night and first thing in the morning. I didn't believe them. I thought, what is this I'm doing? And you know what? After I'd say about a month or two, it worked. It actually worked. It embedded in my brain, the subconscious, that I was fit and healthy and I started walking. So I think with clients, I think what I would say is take one daily action which you might feel comfortable with. It could be a guided meditation. Like I used Headspace because I really didn't know much about how to meditate. I knew how to pray. I love faith and I loved praying to God because I need God to help me. But meditation is amazing as well. And Headspace is a really good app actually, and so is Calm, where, you know, they give you ones where you could do, if you haven't got much time in your day, say you're working, but you've got this pain, do 5 minutes and listen to a guided meditation. That might help. Or if you have got some mobility, I would recommend, can you muster going outside for 5 minutes? I used to walk outside of my close. Now all my neighbors are in close proximity. I used to walk and I knew I had to sit on a pavement after 2 minutes. But what I did started doing was writing down my fears. So I acknowledged them. So I'd say my biggest fear was going outside and having to stop and sit down. And how I reframed that by saying is, even if I sit down, that is progress. And that's making me feel really good. So I think with clients, the one daily step, it could be anything, it could be journaling. It could be a mindfulness, like a meditation. It could be a bit of activity. It could be a positive affirmation or a visualization. So the visualization works in the same way where we visualize how we used to be. Go back to the time when you were walking or you were skipping. How did that feel? You know, so getting all the senses, the nature, if you were in nature, what your surroundings were, what the smell was like, what it looked like, to make sure that your feelings are in a positive place. You could even just speak to somebody who will uplift you to distract your mind, to say, I've not felt the pain now. So there's a variety of ways that you can, I think clients can help themselves, is whether they're willing to do that change. So I think as a first step, that's always a starting point.
Where can people learn more about you? Is there a website or maybe like a Facebook page that people can interact with you, reach out to you, that kind of thing?
Yes. I mean, my website's coming very soon, but I am on LinkedIn as Narinda Sheena. So if people feel that they have this pain, they can direct message me on there privately and I will definitely help them. I'm also on Facebook as well as Narinda Sheena and Map Coach. So Map Coach is Mind Action Progress. I'm also on Instagram as well as Narinda Sheena. So there's a variety of ways you can get in contact with me. And I've got my email as well, narinda@mapcoach.co.uk. So if people feel that they don't know what's going on with their body, they're in need of help, then definitely I can help them.
Awesome. Narinda, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Eddie, for your time.